Amen. Amen, 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 amen. All right, well, I just want to praise the Lord. I didn't know we were going to do testimonies tonight. Pastor Legault was just like, hey, you know what? Why don't you do some testimonies tonight? And now it's Pastor Kinney, because he was able to, or I don't know if he led her directly to the Lord or if she just got saved at the end of the service and after he preached. But it was just a blessing to be able to hear testimonies tonight. I think it's always good. And you know, as you can see, it reminds us, you know, after someone else gives a testimony and another person gives a testimony, it just reminds you, like, oh yeah, you know, God did do something for me over here. Yeah. And then shortly, you know, you weren't planning on giving a testimony, but then it quickly became, you know, more and more testimonies are given because you just remember what great things the Lord has done for you. And it just so happens that I'm preaching a message tonight. The title of my message is Give Thanks.
Amen.
Give Thanks. And 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 50 says, therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. And that's what we were doing here tonight.
Amen.
We are praising the Lord, praising His name. You know, I know that we're not among the heathen right here. Maybe there's someone here that's not saved, but we're still proclaiming and giving the Lord, our Lord and Savior and our God, praise because He is worthy. And, you know, typically, you know, when people think about giving thanks, what tends to happen is you think about Thanksgiving. I know that I used to think, and I'm trying not to have that be my sole train of thought, is just when I hear or see the words give thanks and just associate it with November, just associate it with Thanksgiving, but to associate it all the time in my life,
amen,
giving thanks. Because I used to think, I really don't think this way anymore. I used to think about Plymouth Rock and the first Thanksgiving and, you know, thinking about, well, I still do think about the pumpkin pies and the apple crisp and the apple pies and the good desserts and the Thanksgiving meals. And those are good things to think about, and thinking about getting together with family and having dinner. And maybe some of you watch football on Thanksgiving. Maybe that's not a part of it. I know it was a joy to me a couple of years ago. My family actually, you know, we never really did this, but we had a dinner and we watched a little football, and we also went outside. The weather was nice enough. We actually went outside and played football just with the family in the yard, with my cousins and brothers and sisters, and just, you know, a time of just being thankful, being around family, enjoying each other. And, you know, a lot of times those are different things that people associate with giving thanks is Thanksgiving. But I don't want that to be the only time we remember to give thanks. That shouldn't be the only time. Look, tonight, giving testimonies, being thankful for what the Lord has done in your life, being thankful for what He's done in people that you know in their lives as well, and just seeing how people's lives affect others, and it's a blessing. And so I want to preach this thought tonight about giving thanks. Why? Because He deserves thanks more than just on one specific day. He deserves it. And what are you thankful for? I'm going to be preaching on give thanks. And what are you thankful for tonight? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I'm so thankful for this book. I'm so thankful that you sent your son to die on the cross for my sins. Lord, we can't thank you enough for that. I thank you that you allow me to have the voice and allow me to be a vessel that can be used by you to preach your word. And Lord, I'm just a vessel. Lord, I'm nothing special. I'm just a mouthpiece. Lord, I just pray that you would fill my thoughts and my heart only to preach exactly what you would have said here tonight. Lord, I pray it's a blessing to your people. And Lord, I pray if there is someone here tonight, maybe a young one, maybe someone older, I don't know, but if there is someone here that's not saved, or they don't understand what salvation is or what being born again means, that tonight would be the night of salvation for them, and they can truly experience health and be thankful for what your son did on the cross be thankful that they're not going to be spending eternity in hell. Lord, I just thank you so much. I just pray, once again, you would just be with your people here tonight. I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, we're just going to make a list. We're going to go down the line and I just want to list off some things that we need to remember to be thankful for. And the first one, and I texted Pastor Kenny this afternoon for a little bit of help just because he loves his alliterations. He loves his letters. He likes them all being the same. I never cared too much to be that picky about it. And I was just like, well, this is what this point is about. So this is what it's going to say. And you know what? But I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to alliterate it. So the first point that I want to be preaching on tonight is he pardoned you. He pardoned you. And listen, you got saved and you're here tonight. You have a purpose. You have meaning in this life. Amen. Those who are lost, those who are not saved, those whose father is the devil and not God, they cannot say that. They don't know. They're in search. They're in darkness. The devil has blinded their minds, has blinded them, and you know what? They don't realize what they're missing. They don't realize, they don't see the light. They don't see that they have a purpose. They have a reason to live. But he pardoned us. We need to be thankful for that pardon. Be thankful for our salvation. Some of you here were thankful for your salvation tonight. And that's one of those things that we should always remember to be thankful for. That's one of the things that I pray with my daughter every night. When, you know, my wife and I, we alternate. We individually will kneel down and pray with our daughter before she goes to bed. Some nights it's me. Sometimes nights it's my wife. But I always remember, I said, Lord, thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for my sins. We can never forget to be thankful for that. Or else, why are we praying? Why are we praying? 1 Chronicles 16:34 and 35 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise." And you know, I understand that this is Old Testament, and they're thankful for salvation of God's hand, just delivering them under the hand of those who would reign over them. But we can take this verse and understand that what a great salvation that we have, and being thankful for that, because guess what? We have a final salvation. We don't have to be saved from sin again. Amen. We don't have to be saved from sin anymore. Amen. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Right. You can trust in that and believe in that. We need to thank God. Remember to thank God every day for saving you. Amen. Saving you. Praise him every day for it. We need to praise him and thank him because he saved you. He's good all the time. Right. And not only didn't he just save you from sin, you're saved forever. Like I said, you're saved forever. It's a final salvation. We get to look at the promises. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And he didn't just save you one time. You don't have to continue to come back for him. He guaranteed you eternal life. 1 John chapter 5. I'm telling you right now, if you're struggling with eternal security, if you read this passage right here, I don't know how you can. 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, it says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." If you're saved in here, you've believed on that name. You've believed in Jesus Christ. You have eternal life. You're not just saved for today and tomorrow. You're saved forever. We need to remember to give thanks. Amen. Give thanks for salvation. give thanks for salvation. We just need to remember to be thankful in everything. You know, we're going to get into a couple of other things here, but we need just to remember, no matter what comes our way, whether it's positive or negative, whether it's blessings or trials, to be thankful. And I have a short story here about a couple of men that, you know, had to give thanks, whether it was good or bad or through the trial. It says, two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent they wouldn't make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John, we're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never prayed a prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one I heard my father use at the dinner table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." And that's a funny thing, but it's true in the sense that even when bad things happen to us, the Lord knows what's going on, and there's a reason behind it. And we can be thankful for those things and look at those things. Lord, how can I learn from this situation? How can I grow? How can this make me a better servant, a better Christian, a better example for you? Regardless of what it is, you can be thankful for it. So number one, we need to be thankful for his pardon, his pardon. Number two, his protection, his protection. You know, you're not just saved, but you're protected. You have become a child of the King. Amen. You are his child. You are royalty because you are his child. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Amen. He has a care for you. You're his child. And he wants to protect you. We have not just any protection, we have divine protection. Amen. Listen, there are a lot of people who care about each other. Listen, we care about each other in this room. And if someone was to come in and to attack us or try to hurt someone that we care about and love about, you know, we're going to do our best to try to protect them. But we're still only human. We can only help so much. But we have a Father in heaven. We have divine protection from our Father. Look at John chapter 10. Turn over to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to look at starting in verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." And if you weren't sure that if you were going to be safe in Jesus Christ's hand, well, guess what? You're also not just in Jesus Christ's hand. Look at the next verse. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." You need to remember you're a child of the King, and guess what? You're in the Father's hands. You're in his hands. And when you think that you're like, when you can't understand or why God would let something happen to you, why God would let this person die, why would God allow this certain circumstance to happen in my life, just remember, you're still in his hands. Amen. He's still watching over you. He still cares for you. He's still your Father. We just don't understand it all the time. We don't understand it right now anyways. Maybe someday you will with some wisdom and experience and age, you'll understand. But we need to remember to be thankful for his protection, his divine protection. And you know, in that protection that he provides for you, you know, you think about that mother hen that protects its chicks and it's covering them up. And yes, they're underneath those wings and they can't go too far to have that protection. But you know what? They have freedom. You have a freedom in God's protection. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Amen. Listen, you don't have to deal with the shackles of sin anymore. You're no longer holden by the cords of your sin. And you have freedom and liberty to serve God. Listen, guys, we do not have a have-to religion. I have to serve the Lord. I have to do this. No, you have a get-to. I get to serve God. Those sins aren't going to keep me from giving God glory with my life anymore. Before, when you had sin and you were holding by the sins, the cords of those sins, guess what? You couldn't give God glory with your life. You didn't have the liberty to just do what you want and still give God glory and please Him. But now you can. You have the freedom and the ability to give Him glory with your life. And just like, listen, when you're raising kids and you're raising them to love the Lord and you put certain rules on them and certain things that they can't do, it's because you love them and because you want to protect them. And the better that you can protect them, when they grow up, they're going to have to be making their own decisions. But they have the freedom and understand that those rules aren't there to hold you back, but to keep you safe. As long as you understand that you have that and what it's there for, you can thank God for it. Thank God for His divine protection. Thank God for His freedom. And when you have that protection and know that nothing can hurt you and you have that freedom, you know what else comes along with it? Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. When you know that you're in the Father's hand, you know that He's the one that's watching over, He's the one that's taking care of everything, and you have the liberty and freedom in your salvation to give Him glory with your life, there's a peace that this lost world will never have. And they will never have it. They don't know what's going to happen to them today. There's so many questions. Why is there so many suicides? Because they don't know that there's a God in heaven who sent His Son to die on the cross for them. Because He loved them. He wants to see them saved. That they have worth. They have value to Him. We know. We can lay our heads down. I already talked about it. We're saved. We're always saved. And even when we do mess up, even when we do fall back into those besetting sins and we tend to fail Him time and time again, but we still know that we have peace with God. Amen. We have peace with God because we accepted the only thing that could give us peace with God, and that was that gift of Jesus Christ. Amen. And because you have peace with God, He can then give you the peace of God. When you continue to trust in Him, put your faith in Him, and continue to pray, continue to read your Bible, like Brother Akhmudi was saying earlier, you can have the peace of God because your whole faith and your whole being is putting your trust in Him, not just for your salvation, but with your entire life. Amen. With all the different circumstances that you come across in your life, and you'll have the peace of God. Oh, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to. There's a couple of bills coming up next month, and the money's real tight, but Lord, I'm going to put my faith in You, Lord. You're going to supply my needs. You're going to take care of me, Lord, and put your faith in Him and watch Him work. That's the peace of God. That's the peace of God. That no man whose father is the devil, no man who is not saved, they don't have that. They don't have that. They can't trust in that. Look at Matthew. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Pick it up in verse number 28. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Listen, we have the peace of God, but listen, if you're trying to take on responsibilities yourself, trying to figure things out yourself, guess what? You're going to get burdened down. And that's why He continues to tell us, listen, I gave you a peace. I can give you peace. Don't put on burdens for yourself. Give them to me. Amen. Turn them over to you. Why? So you can have rest. He can carry a lot heavier load than you can. When you try to carry it yourself, it becomes a burden. And then people would start to see, when you're trying to carry everything yourself, you don't have that joy and that peace of God that you should have. Be thankful for the protection that God gives you and what it can do for you. Give you that peace. Number three, His people. We need to be thankful for His people. Listen, God did not intend for us to be alone. It started all the way at the beginning. Look at Genesis chapter 2, all the way back there at the beginning. God created man in His own image. And just like God is not alone, it's a three parts there, the Trinity. You have the Holy Spirit, you have the Son, and you have the Father. Guess what? They're not alone. And when He created man, you know what He decided? You know what? It's not good for man to be alone. And you know what? He decided to create a helpmeet for him, for Adam. He has given us His people. He's given us people to have fellowship with, what to keep us going. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet.'" And then that just brings me over to, and when I sit there and I think about, you know, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Listen, if just you, husband, or you, wife, get together with your husband, if you guys, just the two of you, get together to meet with God, you know what? He's going to meet with you. It says where two or three are gathered together. If you just as a couple, as you just a relationship, as you as a married partnership just get together, guess what? God wants to meet with you. Amen. Even in just your marriage, He wants to meet with you. He wants to be a part of that. It's so important that if you are married here today, to have that relationship with your wife, with your husband, so that God can really use you as a couple, use you and your marriage to give Him glory, so that you can also be a blessing to other families and other people in the church. He gave us these things. We're not supposed to be alone. We're supposed to encourage each other, help each other. But He didn't just give us just a husband and wife. You know, He gave you a family as well. You know, maybe not everybody, but those of you who have family and you have brothers and sisters, sons, daughters, grandchildren, listen, He's blessed you with so many people in your life. And Lord willing, if they're not saved, someday they will be. And it's up to you to reach them. Who else is going to? Can't expect someone else. Can't expect always the pastor to show up to your family. You are to be the light in your family. Your church family. How about your church family? We know and we go there time and time again. And we think about Hebrews chapter 10 and what it says. And it says, "Let us consider one another." Really think about that. Consider one another. How often do you think and pray for your church family? It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." When's the last time you said, you know what, I just want to come to church and I want to provoke people to be loving, to be kind, and to do good works. Come to church and say, and be an encouragement to someone. Say, "Hey, it's good to see you. I love you. I'm praying for you. Hey, have you witnessed to somebody this week?" Provoking each other unto good works. Provoking each other. Listen, you're supposed to be poking at each other. Not in a negative way. Not in a haughty way. But say, "Hey, have you done something for the Lord this week? You know, tell me something. I want to hear something." Like we did tonight, giving testimonies of what God has done for you in your life. You know what? A lot of times you're like, "Well, I haven't been able to lead someone to the Lord lately." How many steps have you taken out of your way to reach to someone? Putting yourself, listen, and you know, you're going to be able to have more blessings and more opportunities to give God praise when you're willing to take a step out of faith, take a step out in faith, doing things for Him, being a witness for Him. Well, listen, we as a church family, we are to provoke each other unto good works. Amen. Continuing in verse number 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Listen, it's so important. It's so much more important. We understand, we see the way the world is going. It's pretty sad, the state of our presidential election today. Who we have to vote for. These are our best candidates. These are the best people that we can put in office. It's just sad. But, you know, we are still going to have to live in this world. We're going to have to deal with this world and not be a part of it. And we need to be here. We need to be here together to provoke each other, to help each other, to love on each other, because we need each other to keep going. Your friends, there are so many things that God has given you to give you companionship in this Christian life. His people, be thankful for that. Be thankful for the people that God has put in your life. We got to hear testimonies tonight of just the people. Number four, your physical health. Yeah, there's a P in there. That's not enough. Physical health. That's how I was trying to find a word. It was hard to find a word, but I just went with physical. Because he does. He sustains us physically. And I understand there are people who are sick. I understand that there are people who are saved who have cancer. And there are people who struggle with different health things. But we also need to understand that we still need to thank him for even the problems we have with our health. It's hard. And listen, I'm not saying that's easy to do. I think it was Dr. Rucker was telling a story about this old elderly lady, and or maybe it was Pastor Legault. I remember hearing this story time and time again about this elderly woman who has a cough, and she's been laying in bed for months and months, and she's like, Lord, I got nothing left to give. I don't know. Well, you know, I love the Lord and I want to give him praise, but I got nothing left to live for. Lord, just take me home. But she eventually submitted, say, Lord, if you want me to stay in bed and just cough for you, if you want me to just lay in bed and give you glory and just cough for you, and then I'll do it. And just resigning herself over to the Lord, that even though her circumstance was very bleak, she said, I'm still going to give it over to you so that you can use it some way, somehow. And listen, I'm not saying that's an easy thing at all. That takes a great deal of will and submission to the Lord to do that. But I pray that someday that we would be able to do that. You would be able to do that if it came to it. That I would be able to do it if that came to it. But we should be able to be thankful, because most of the time we don't have those problems. We have a good bill of health. We can thank the Lord for keeping us upright, keeping us safe. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verses, starting at verse number 5, looking at verses 5 through 8, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. And listen, those things, putting your trust in the Lord and making sure that he is the focal point of your life, it's good for you. It's going to be good for you physically, health-wise, because you're putting God first. There are many stupid things that we will do in this life physically for a job or for a game or a sport or different things that, guess what? It's not necessarily good for you for your health. But there are things that you can do for God, and you know what? He's going to take care of you and give you the strength to do it. He sustains you. He gives us the strength that we need to overcome this world. He gives us the strength physically to continue on every day. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the might, with the right hand of my righteousness. Amen. Listen, you're still in the hand of the King. You're in the hand of God. He's going to uphold you, take care of you, because he loves you. We can thank God that we're still breathing. We were still able to get up out of our bed. We're still able to get out of the house today, come here and hear preaching, get to sing, give him glory. You're still here. You're still breathing. You're still alive. Right. You can thank God for that. Amen. And lastly, his provision. You know, Jehovah Nissi means God is my provider. Amen. Jehovah Nissi. He is my provider. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, Pastor Kenny hit on this a little bit and going through Philippians recently. When Philippians 4, verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All your need, not all your greed. You know, there's a big difference there. So many times we think about what we want and what we desire, and if we desire it enough, and that God will give it to us. But he didn't say he'd provide what you want. He said he'd provide what you need. You know, and so many times it's far above that. It is far above what we need. He blesses us with so many things. One thing that sometimes we forget to be thankful for is the Word of God, this King James Bible that we have. You know, when I sit there and I see when they hand out Bibles to these third world countries and these people that they're so grateful, even if they can just get a piece of paper, just a piece of God's Word, and how much they reverence it. And many of us, we just have 4, 5, 6, we could have 10 Bibles just laying around in our house collecting dust and we don't even think about it. How precious God's Word is. We need to be thankful for the provision that God gave us, his complete Word. He's given us the clothes that we have on our back. He's given us the things to wear, the things that we need to eat, the things to survive. He's given you homes. He's given you jobs. Maybe he's given you a good retirement. Maybe he's given you a car that runs. Whatever it is, there are just so many things that we could list that we need to remember to be thankful for. Even the little things we need to be thankful for. Be thankful for those things. The things are, you know, so many times we think things are important to us. And but the things, too many things can become a distraction. And I thank God for the many things that he's made it easier for us to live in our lives, but we also need to be careful about what things we allow into our home and make sure, Lord, is this what you want me to have or is this going to hurt me? And there are a lot of things that I have that I probably can't be thankful for. And the Lord has still, you know, been long-suffering and blessed me. And there are things that I've bought without any thought of, Lord, should I buy this? There are things that I've done that I'm like, Lord, what should I don't even consider or even think to ask Lord if I should have this or do this. And we ought not to be that way. It ought not to be that way. I'm guilty of it. We're all guilty of it. But we need to remember to be thankful to our God who provides us with so many blessings. Psalm 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He provides us with so many great things that he doesn't just provide you with the physical things, but he supplies you with spiritual blessings as well. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This will be the last place we turn tonight, Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We ought to be thankful and bless God because of the spiritual blessings. What we got to hear tonight during testimony time, they were spiritual blessings. And he fills those and gives us opportunities to receive those spiritual blessings all the time, every day. Sometimes we just need to open our eyes a little bit more, open up our hearts to realize and to truly see those spiritual blessings and to thank God that he allows us to partake in that. Being thankful for not just the physical provisions, but the spiritual ones. The fact that you can open your Bible and he's willing to speak to you. The God of the universe says, you know what? I'm going to bless them today. I'm going to show them something that they didn't notice. They've read in the book of Galatians so many times, but you know what? I'm going to show them something that they didn't really pay attention to before. I'm going to make that come alive for them and bless them that day. The spiritual blessings that you get from the Lord. Remember to be thankful for that. Be thankful to him. Be thankful for prayer. Guys, there's so many things that we need to be thankful for. Being thankful for his pardon, for saving our souls, because we didn't deserve it. Be thankful for his pardon. Be thankful for his protection, that you're a child of the King, that you're in his hands. Be thankful for his people, the people that he's put in your life. Maybe you don't have a lot of your actual physical family that's saved, but guess what? God also gave you a church family that wants to uphold you, support you, strengthen you. He's put people in your life to help you. God gave us the church to help us succeed. Your physical health, be thankful that you're still breathing, you're still able to move, you're still able to do something for him. He's blessed you with that ability. And he's blessed you with all the physical things in life, the things that we take for granted every day. How about just getting up in the morning and taking a hot shower? Praise the Lord for a hot shower. Praise the Lord, I can get out of that shower and have a dry towel to use and have heat in the house. And all those different things, the physical provisions that he provides for us and the spiritual ones. Just the little blessings that God just chooses to show you and enlighten you in your Bible reading and time in prayer with him. Be thankful. Don't forget to be thankful. It's not just on Thanksgiving, it's every day. Start your prayers with thanksgiving. Say, God, thank you for all the things you've given me before you start asking him for more. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for all the blessings you've given us. And I just pray, Lord, if maybe there's someone here that can't thank you for salvation. Or maybe they've had a hard time being thankful. Maybe they've been ungrateful lately or just forgotten so many different things that, you know what, I haven't thanked the Lord for that lately. Lord, whatever it is, I pray that they would get that taken care of with you today. Lord, help us to be thankful, not ungrateful. Lord, I pray that you would work in the invitation. And Lord, that you'd be honored and glorified. I love you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.